Hey, it's Alex. Look, it's a pre-show thing. I didn't get to it during the show, so let me say that I had Dario on. Dario is a lovely man. He has a fine demeanor and supple lips, so you should enjoy his company. You can find him online at Dario the Wop. DarioTheWop. Dario the Wop. I know it's a little racially insensitive, but he is of the descent that calls themselves that, and it is allowed, because he is covered in chocolate and filled with malt. Get it? Whoppers. Huh, I'm funny. You can find me online at TheAlexCast on Twitter, at TheAlexCast. Alex always spelled with two X's, at TheAlexCast. Facebook, I am facebook.com/AlexCast. I'm on Instagram. I don't know what that is. AlexCast.com. That's where you can find links to my books that I wrote. I wrote two books. I wrote a novel. You should read it. It's called Periphery. Read it. Enjoy it. Have fun. AlexCast.com. Woo! AlexCast.com. And also, please, and this is the important part, break it on down. The Standard. Facebook.com/TheStandard. PDX. PDX, shortened form of Portland. The Standard. Facebook.com/TheStandardPDX. Here is the thing. I am talking sort of like a robot now for no reason. 14 Northeast 22nd is where you can find them in their physical, corporeal reality, not in the strange, ethereal oddness that is the internet. This is a real life version of the world. It's like that movie The Matrix, except you took the blue pill. Please go there. Enjoy. Wednesday nights, you can drink $1 hams. That is a 16-ounce beer for $1 in a glass. Like, it's from the tap. Saturday nights, people that are regular listeners are like, wait, Alex, you've never told us about Saturday nights. Because I was there on Saturday and I looked up. $3 for a rotating tap. Usually a local beer of deliciousness, microbrew, for $3. You're like, Alex, how could you possibly beat $3 for a pint of beer? Well, on a Saturday night, you certainly can't beat that deal. Well, but my friends, you know what I can tell you about? I'll tell you about Sundays at the Standard. $2 microbrews. $2 for a microbrew. Like, delicious, good, fantastic, like, best microbrew you can get in the universe. Like, we live in Beervana, as they call Oregon, and it is delightful. So come hang out at the Standard. Enjoy. Monday nights, you can have Jello shots with Pop Rocks on them while watching RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm not making that up. That's a thing that happens at the Standard. And, so you should go there. I'm there. I'm not there on Monday nights because, I don't really like that show. But if you do, you should go. And actually, the people that go there are really fun. I have quite a few friends that show up on that night, and they're fun, energetic people. And if I were a Jello eater, which I'm not because it's made from the ground up hooves and bones of animals, I would have a Jello shot with you. But I won't, because I judge you for eating Jello. But I will do a shot of like some kind of like whiskey if you want. You know, if you want to buy me a whiskey, we'll meet up there. Have whiskey on you at the Standard. Facebook.com/TheStandardPDX or 1419 is when they were established. They're the oldest bar in America. But you can find them in not the oldest bar in America. You can find them at 14 Northeast 22nd in Portland or econ.com. Okay, enjoy the show.
Oh, please, no more.
Hey guys, it's me, Alex, and as always, I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl, if I did, I'd call her, I wish I had a rabbit and a hat with a bat and a 6'4 Impala. Joining me tonight is Dario. Hello, Dario.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing. Whilst polling the internet for topics, Mr. Postal Poet said we should talk about 1990s rap. And the only rap I could think of that I actually remembered the words to was Skilo's I Wish I Was a Baller, or whatever that was called. And I don't even know if that happened in the 90s, because...
Oh, that was 90s.
Oh, good. Because it's pretty much somewhere between about 1995 and 2008 are all about the same year in my head.
Well, now, I've always been partial to the Humpty Dance.
Well, that was your chance to do the hump.
I was always partial to the rapper with the big nose.
Yeah.
Well, much like Muppets from Space, the Gonzo movie, I was very sympathetic towards the lead in that film.
Oh, I got you.
Because big nose freak that was searching for his family.
Because you've got a bit of a schnoz on you, is what you're referencing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of had forgotten about that.
That's why there's not too many pictures of me online.
Yeah. Same thing for me. Not the large nose, it's the large everything else, except for that thing. But I wouldn't have pictures of that online anyway.
Yes.
So,
we are 30 seconds in and there's already been a dick joke.
I was talking about my ego. But, you know, you can take it to a cross level if you want.
Never.
Yeah, me neither. Humpty Dance. Oh, yeah. So the reason I like the Humpty Dance so much is because rarely do you have, like, products name checked in a song in, like, a way that there's no fucking way you're going to get free shit from them. So, like, you can say, like, Cristal, and you're like, hey, you know, the Cristal company's probably going to, like, ship me a case. Burger King is not going to give Mr. Humpty Dance any free shit because he said he once got busy in one of their restrooms.
Indeed, that reference gets bleeped out of most recordings of it.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Oh, that's fun.
You play the music video on YouTube, it gets bleeped out.
Oh, that's fucking fantastic. Oh, I had no idea. Oh, all right. Well, hey, look at that. My thought process there was, I haven't heard that song in like 20 years. Now I know. And I guess everybody had already thought of this before me.
Let's see. What other 90s rap can we unfurl?
I almost started with the Jump Around. I almost started with Jump Around, but I couldn't remember enough words to it.
It was House of Pain.
Yeah. Right? I was nearly House of Pain, and then I was going to say Straight Outta Compton, A Crazy Nigga Called Alex Cast, but then I was like, that may have been late 80s.
Do you remember that scene in Mrs. Doubtfire where the mom comes home early and they're playing Jump Around and like Robin Williams is like dancing on top of the, I guess it's piano or whatever with the kids and like, no, you probably don't.
No, I have a vague memory of this. Here's the thing is, and I'm probably not all that alone in this, but I was never a big Robin Williams fan. Never really found him all that funny.
I always liked the films where he was specifically trying to get away from the funny man shtick. Did you ever see World's Greatest Dad?
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, I liked it when he was somewhat serious. I enjoyed it. I like World's Greatest Dad. I'm not a fan of the film, but Good Will Hunting, I thought he was good in.
Yeah.
There was another one I liked by him as well. The one that's all technicolor, and it's kind of like they're in like the afterlife.
Oh, What Dreams May Come.
Yeah. I thought he was quite good in that, but like nothing.
The Richard Matheson adaptation.
Oh, is that?
I believe so.
Oh, no shit. And I don't, if it wasn't for the people that if no one liked the movie, I would have liked, Dead Poets Society, but there's so many douchebags that like that film that it makes it really difficult for me to take any joy out of it.
Yeah. I feel that way about, a lot of Marvel films for that matter.
Oh, really?
No, not exactly.
Because they haven't been ruined for me quite yet. Like, I'm actually kind of getting there where it's like, too many people like the stuff that I like, so I'm kind of like, eh, fuck you. Like, stop being good so I can go back.
The dumbing down for the general audiences is, I'm still making peace with that. I dislike the fact that most of these films have, you know, the The main character fights the evil version of themselves.
Fights the evil version of themselves.
Superman fought Zod. Hulk fought Abomination. Ant-Man's going to be fighting Yellowjacket.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't think that occurred to me. Yeah, because Thor fights his brother.
Yep.
I think
that's one of the better ones.
Robert Downey Jr. fought
Iron Monger.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say Nanobot robots in the really shitty one with Ben Kingsley.
No, I liked 3, actually. I thought you were going to say 2.
Oh, 2 was... Oh, 2 was just... 2 was fantastically bad. 3 was... I thought 3 was just... Like, I don't know. Like, 2 was so bad that I'm, like, not even mad at it. Like, you know, it's just kind of like, ah, forget it. Like, I can't even look at it. It's just so shitty. 3 is, like, annoying because it's, like, almost cool, so I kind of hate it more.
I must say, ever since I saw Big Trouble in Little China, I always saw Lo Pan as the perfect Mandarin. So I think that a straightforward Mandarin could work, but we're dealing with, you know, Disney-owned Marvel, so.
Which one was Lo Pan in that movie? Like the old guy? Like the actual big guy. The main villain, okay.
The one that caused the Big Trouble.
Yeah, the titular Big Trouble in aforementioned Little China. Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Fuck, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Because Shield Guy fights Red Face Shield Guy. Captain America fights Red Skull. Because right. I honestly couldn't think of either of their names off the top of my head. And I almost called him Red Face. Yeah, because they're like the same dude. Oh, wow, that's a really good point. All those movies are just fighting their fucking, themselves, but evil.
There's exceptions, and those tend to be the better ones. Obviously, you got Batman and the Joker. The Joker is the opposite of Batman in many ways, not the evil version. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you. It's just, okay, that's a good point. I think it's just I have trouble. Because they're so entangled in my head. Like, it's so, like, it's Batman and Joker. Like, they're, like, they've got the same hard drive space in my brain. So it's, like, right. I have to think of, like, you're right. They are opposites. It's just they're so intrinsically, you know, entwined with one another in a memory lover's embrace.
Well, they're yin and yang.
Yeah. Well, I was just going with the slash fiction I've been working on.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works as well.
It gets nice. they've got this. I've got this one scene all planned out with it's Batman, the Joker, and then Harvey Dent dressed as Harley Quinn, and they're having like they just basically they're doing a train, and it's pretty sexy.
You're a sick man.
Yeah, a little bit. Have you watched Gotham? Are you caught up with that? Speaking of.
No. There's too much comic book stuff out there. I can't watch all of it. I don't know. Gotham to me, it's Smallville all over again. Although, you know, they're handling it better. You know, they're not going for that, the teeny bopper audience, but it's still, you know, they want to make a Batman show, but they don't want to deal with what they think are the problems with making a superhero show. And you'd think with, you know, the Flash and Arrow and now Daredevil, you think that they would get over it, but
yeah. Well, I have a pet theory on that, which I think I've said it on the show 100 times, so I'm not going to say it again, but I'm not going to go into detail, but I think that show, and the reason I like it is that show is actually a prequel to the Adam West Batman.
I was actually going to bring that up. You know, they make a comic book of that now.
They make a comic book of the Adam West Batman?
Yes, drawn by Mike Allred, who's, as I recall, you enjoyed his art style. He did Mad Men.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew that name sounded familiar. Six. Oh. Wow, that's actually pretty fucking cool. Oh, I didn't even... I mean, that's cool in concept. I think I'd be bored to tears reading it, but I like the idea.
I was going to recommend it to you. You should check it out.
Yeah, for a lark, yeah. They're making a Batman animated feature with Adam West and Burt Ward.
Yeah. Which, I read about that as well.
I can't imagine that's going to be good.
Well, they're quivering senior citizen voices.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Batman still sounds pretty Batman-y when he plays the... He's like the, on...
Air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Family Guy, yeah.
Family Guy, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say Dumb Simpsons. I can think, again, I can't think of the name.
I was about to blurt out Quahog.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's weird? I probably would have gotten it from that. Because there's no cuz. I hate that show. I watched the first couple seasons and then just... Well, then the show kept happening. Like, once they brought it back, I just... Like, that first season, like, yay, they brought it back! And, oh, you're making the same jokes from last season, huh? Oh, you're still doing... Oh, okay, I guess I'll just stop watching now.
South Park Manatees nailed it.
I know that reference. I don't know that one, though.
South Park did an episode where they explained how Family Guy is written, and it's manatees with balls in a tank, and that's how they construct the references.
Oh, yeah, that works perfectly well. There's a really funny... I don't remember what movie it was. One of the Riff Tracks movies recently. Oh, fuck. It may have been one of the Harry Potters, or maybe it was the Hunger Games. But either way, Bill Corbett is doing, he goes like, hey, that's like the 80s video games, like Hungry Hungry Hippos. That's like, and Mike keeps going, so you've been watching a lot of Family Guy, huh, Bill? And then Bill just goes, things we recognize! it's really fun because they just are just literally doing the shitty jokes, then pointing out that's not comedy. Actually, at one point, Mike goes, that's not comedy, you're just saying things.
The Setzer and Gold, I think it's Goldberg, Setzer and Goldberg School of Comedy, just reference things. They did Epic Movie, Date Movie.
Yeah.
Those things.
That sort of stuff where it's just, yes, that is a thing that happened. Oh, look at it. So have you watched The Daredevil?
No, not yet. I have it. I have acquired it somehow. And I'm saving it for a rainy day. I'm really, really looking forward to it. You know, I'm a big, big fan of the character, and I always felt that if it was adapted properly, people would go nuts for it. And surprise, surprise, that's what I seem to be hearing.
Yeah,
through chatter.
I'm curious about your reaction to it because I loved the shit out of it. Like, I really enjoyed it. I watched every episode this weekend. Like, just plowed through them.
Dude, I've been preaching this shit for 20 years.
Well, here's the thing is, I've never not liked Daredevil. I've just never been into him. Like, so I don't really know the character that well. Like, you know, yeah, I read a few books here and there.
That's most people.
Yeah. So
they dislike him, but they just weren't familiar with him. And I was always like, if you were familiar, you would really like him.
Yeah. So I'm curious as to what a person that is very familiar with the character would think, because I don't know the source material. So like for me, I really enjoyed the shit out of it, but I don't know what's been fucked with. Like, I feel like, well, and I don't know the books, but I feel like D'Onofrio isn't doing a very Kingpin feeling Kingpin, but maybe I don't know the character that well.
He wasn't my first choice for the Kingpin. However, give me a moment. Brian Michael Bendis, who wrote the Daredevil comic book in the 2000s, he wrote a Kingpin that would be much closer to how I could envision D'Onofrio, you know, playing him rather than a more traditional Kingpin. But one thing I'll tell you, based on just two things that come to mind. One, they're not going to go the way of the Affleck film, the Mark Steven Johnson film. And that one strayed very far from the source material. The other thing, I just saw a trailer and I recognized so much from it. So I could tell it was faithful. And, I mean, with the Mark Steven Johnson film, let me put it to you this way. What he wanted to do with Daredevil, he wanted to adapt a specific storyline. To adapt that story would have been like making Return of the King the first and only Lord of the Rings film.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, And that's why that particular film, I found it almost insulting because there was a lot of dialogue lifted straight from the comic books. And it was done in such a way as, you know, people were people were almost like, look, we adapted the comic books. This is what you wanted, right? No, you took dialogue, but you didn't. But you changed the actions, you changed the context, and rendered it meaningless or insipid. Great example is the Electra character. It's, that's Matt Murdock, Daredevil's first love. They meet in college. Tragedy strikes. Unresolved feelings, and then years and years later, they meet up again when she's an assassin and he's Daredevil. And so he goes crazy for her. He's obsessing over her. And in the film, they have the second part, but without the first. They just meet on a playground and then they start dance fighting.
Yeah, that was a really awkward scene.
Great bit with riff tracks, getting back to that. But anyway, so I could tell. I have a good feeling about the Daredevil show. Haven't seen it yet.
You're okay. You actually did kind of put one little thing to rest with me. This is not a spoiler, but it is from the show. Yeah. This is not a spoiler. This doesn't give nothing away because it's a throwaway line. But at one point, his sidekick.
Foggy.
Yeah, I such a dumb name. But
1960s.
They have a flashback part where they're in college having a conversation about girls, and Foggy asks whatever happened with that Greek chick.
There we go.
And I went, you see, that's the thing is, if that's an actual reference, like that's the way the comic books had her introduced, that's a really cool reference. But I don't know the character well enough. I'm like, oh no, are they trying to shoehorn her into this continuum? You've made me happier knowing that that actually is part of the actual character.
Oh yes, oh yeah, and they're waiting on that honor too. I can tell.
I don't know, but they.
Okay.
No, that's I don't want to say yes or no because I've already watched the show, but I just thought that was fun. That was a fun little line. Now that I know that's actually from the comic, not some kind of dumb shoehorn thing where it's, "Wah, yeah, get it?"
Yeah, no. She's that's his first love from college.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I don't know. I liked it. I'm curious what your response is when you're out. And there was a couple pretty fun
casting, in particular Scott Glenn as Stick. They cast Terrence Stamp as Stick. In the previous films with Affleck and Jennifer Garner. And that was just so idiotic considering, you know, how Stick's supposed to be. That sort of more like Brooklyn badass type.
Yeah.
And Scott Glenn is such a better choice.
I don't even remember Stick being in that movie.
He was in Elektra.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't see Elektra. That's why I'm not remembering him.
That's another thing they got wrong with Daredevil. Where he wasn't trained.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, he didn't have any training, did he?
Yeah. He just, you know, got blinded and then he just sort of, you know, punched a punching bag a bunch of times.
Yeah. You know, that actually didn't occur to me that, yeah, at no point did I explain the fact that he's like a martial arts expert that can go toe-to-toe with a trained assassin lady. And yeah, it's just completely, wow, I hadn't thought about that. That movie's even dumber now.
Oh, dude, that movie. I'm not going to sit here and start ripping on it. I could be here forever. It's down there with Smallville.
In terms
of, you could just dig and dig and all sorts of gold you'll find in the shit.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly never really liked it. I saw the longer version, like I guess it was the director's cut or whatever, which I liked. I liked quite a bit more than the original. Not that doesn't mean, you know, it's
the better version.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A solid C.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that's the thing. It actually did get up to like almost, you know, it was like pretty watchable. Once in the alternate cut, and. All right, well.
So since you've seen that and you've seen this TV show, how would you compare this so-called, you know, good director's cut of the movie to this TV show?
Well, I mean, they're an entirely different thing, so it would be tough to compare. Even if the Daredevil movie was done well, just stylistically, it's entirely different. Like the Netflix show is done with this kind of gritty realism. It's based more on like the Mark Miller style comics, like that kind of
Frank Miller.
Oh yeah, sorry, Frank Miller. Like that's like that style, and then the movie was more like kind of brighter.
Spider-Man at night.
What's that?
It was like the Spider-Man movie at night.
Yeah, kind of. But yeah. The aesthetic they were going for, like, even if somehow they made it well, it'd be hard to compare the two. It'd be like trying to compare Adam West Batman to Christian Bale Batman. You know.
I'm just trying to rip on that film as much as I can.
No, it's a piece of shit. No, I like. Yeah, we can. It's. I'm not trying to defend it. I just try to compare the two would be difficult. Like, we could say, like, hey, Alex, compare that Daredevil movie to any movie that isn't terrible. And I could be like, yes, that Daredevil movie, well, it's terrible. But the director's cut is slightly better. And there's some stuff I liked in it. Like, Bullseye I found terribly amusing. Like, maybe not for the reason they wanted it to be. But, like, that actor looked like he was having a shitload of fun. And it just, it amused me every time he was on screen.
It was Colin Farrell.
Yeah. I don't even like him.
They tried to make him a big star.
Yeah. But that was awkward. But that movie was really fun to watch him because it was just over-the-top ridiculousness. And I always like when people go to that level.
Right, right. Colin Farrell was the vampire in the Fright Night remake, wasn't he?
I thought that was David Tennant.
No, I think he was the Roddy McDowell role.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't watch it, but the only person I know in that, it might be. It was somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. I was a big fan of Fright Night, of the original, and the sequel. I like the sequel, too. So.
I don't even know if I've seen the sequel. I've certainly seen the remake. I haven't seen the remake. I've seen the original. I don't know that I was aware there was a sequel, to tell you the truth. The
sequel's better. It's got some legit comedy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'd appreciate it.
Like, on-purpose comedy, or...
Yes, on-purpose.
Oh, okay. Comedy.
Yes. Vampires bowling.
Oh, really?
Yes. With, wow. A head and shit.
Okay, that's funny. There's that... I can't say that. There's
What's
a good
that?
There's a good bowling alley scene in the Daredevil show.
We should stop talking about it. I don't want to get any spoilers.
No, that's the thing. No, yeah, I'm not even going to tell you who's involved or anything. I just, that popped in my head. I was like, oh yeah, that was a fun scene. I look back on it fondly. You know what's getting good too? Sorbet, clean the palate. When I use the term good, I'm making a very different kind of statement here.
Right.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is starting to get pretty damn good.
Took them long enough.
Yeah.
I haven't watched an episode. I can't talk about
it. You don't really, like, I wouldn't recommend starting it. But because it got its stupid hooks in me, I've just been kind of there with it. But they were doing, like, the Inhuman storyline now.
Mm.
So it's starting to get, like, it's starting to feel a lot more Marvel comics-y now. Like, it's starting to get kind of proper weird. And, yeah, it's been... not a good run, but when it's doing well, it's actually pretty enjoyable to watch. And lately it's been extra weird, you know, subterranean cities and doing the whole like transformation process and Inhumans.
Yeah, the Terrigen Mists.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And is it the Kree? Are they the blue ones?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting introduced or like referenced upon. Yeah, it's actually getting to the point that it's like pretty watchable, but it's still on. So, you know, once it's done with its run, binge watch it. You know, 6 years down the line, binge watch it. It's worth watching because then you can skip through all the dumb shit.
Shit, I lost my train of thought.
Nah, that's all right. Was it about Agent May or Agent Phil Coulson?
No. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, you do know why there's they're going to be pushing the Inhumans hard, right?
No.
Fox has the television and movie rights to X-Men in perpetuity, and they couldn't make a deal
with Marvel couldn't make a deal with them. So they're they did that with Fantastic Four too. So they've canceled the Fantastic Four comic book and redistributed those characters along all sorts of other titles. And they're giving the Inhumans a big push in wrestling speak. In fact, they've reverted Wanda or Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, Pietro and Wanda.
Yeah,
they're going to be Inhumans too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, I guess that makes sense because I mean, you can't talk about them as mutants, so you got to give them.
And they've already retconned them in the comics.
Yeah. Huh. Well, yeah. I mean, it's what they can do. I mean, they don't have the characters, and they have to. I mean, it's part of the mythology that they're dealing with, so they got to figure out another way to do it. So.
Yeah, and I must admit, there is a certain logic to it. You see, Fox gets to use any characters that get introduced in the Fantastic Four and X-Men comics. So by that, and you know, they're competing directly with Disney.
Yeah.
So, so they're not going to be introducing any more characters in those books. In fact, they've taken they've killed Wolverine off. He's been dead for well over a year now. And, Sabretooth has taken his place.
Yeah. Most
things.
I think I tried to find the comic that he died in, and I couldn't find it. What the hell happened?
In short, his healing factor got taken away, and he was sort of drowned in adamantium. He became a statue, but not... It's not... Nah, statue is the wrong word. Sort of buried under a pile of adamantium, liquid adamantium.
Yeah. Yeah, that's gotta suck.
It's actually a good storyline. Charles Soule, he's written a whole bunch of good New 52 stuff, and he came on board for this one.
Why?
I don't usually like Wolverine, but that was a pretty good storyline. I'm leaving out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I downloaded a bunch of Wolverine comics to try to find the Death of Wolverine story arc. And I ended up reading one where it's like just all the other Wolverine kind of kind of secondary characters talking about Wolverine being dead or being missing. it wasn't good. I mean, I obviously downloaded the wrong thing. And then I was trying to find one where
The comic book is called Death of Wolverine. It's a 4-issue series.
Yeah, I downloaded one. I guess it was, I don't know, after the death of Wolverine or something, because it was like X whatever talking about it. Like, they were all gathered together in a room. That was it. Like, they had been kidnapped into, like, a prison or something. And they were talking about how the original Wolverine was dead. Anyway, but that got me onto... I read the one where it's like Old Man Wolverine, I think it was called, the storyline.
Old Man Logan, yes.
That was actually pretty good. I was surprised by that.
That was a good story.
Yeah, I was a little shocked by it because, well, there's some shocking moments in there.
There are, never ceases to amaze me when people read comics and then they're like, wow, this was good. It's because most people, even yourself, tend to have this ingrained image of comics as being, you know, what they were in the Silver Age.
Well, I mean, I read a bunch of comics when I was younger. I just, basically...
90s comics?
No, but I mean, I've been on and off, you know, my entire adult life. I go back and read some. It's just a Wolverine book being good in the 2000s was the surprising part.
Well, yeah. The key there was Mark Millar.
Yeah.
You confused him and Frank Miller earlier.
Yeah. Which I still don't know which one I was trying to reference because they're
you were
all
trying
this...
to reference Frank Miller earlier.
Oh, okay, that was the guy I was thinking of. Okay, all
right. Mark Millar is the guy that wrote Old Man Logan.
Yeah,
he's written a bunch of good stuff, including I wouldn't say Civil War was great, but it had the same artist as Old Man Logan, and it had a lot of great little moments. It's definitely entertaining.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to you about this, because have you ever read, this is my favorite comic book ever, and like no one's read it, did you read Ruins?
Yes, by Garth Ennis.
Yeah, I fucking love Ruins. That it's like just two books. Like something about that was just so perfect. Like it's just so such a great like kind of, you know, it's like the most depressing what if ever, you know.
Yes, exactly. My favorite little bit from that was one of the stray it was like a stray newspaper, and it was a tabloid, and it had Galactus, and it had a picture of Galactus's body floating, and it said, God's dead body found in space or
Oh,
something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, that was such a great. That was one of the few books that, like, I wish I knew more about comics while reading it, because I know there was a few, like, there's a bunch of references I didn't get that was going on, you know, kind of
Yeah.
in the side of the panel.
Yeah, that was pure that was pure 90s nihilism right there in
Yeah,
that book.
I just it was so fucking amusing to me, and
That
the.
Hulk was a big tumor.
Yeah, and it's Spider-Man was like this kind of half spider chimera that's like coming spider webs. Oh, so fucking gnarly. And they go into like the basically like lobotomized mutant hospital where it's just all your favorite mutants that have just been fucking slaughtered. Oh, it's so fun.
Nick Fury's a crazy old soldier, and he's a cannibal, and he mentions that Captain America taught him how to eat people.
Yeah, it's just it's so good. Like it just and the art in it is really nice, but it just is so fucking dark. Like I just I again I love when people take something to just such a ridiculous extreme. Not like extreme, like not like Liefeld extreme, but
Right.
like it's well done extreme where it's just like there's no way you could make this darker. I mean, this is fucking Schindler's List of comic books.
Let me see here. Is that Garth Ennis or Warren Ellis? You would really like. Yeah, it was Warren Ellis. Okay. Still, they're both great writers. They get confused because of their the similarity in their last names.
Well, I get them
But
confused with all the like I get like kind of the writers I know, I get them all confused because I always read them in a chunk. So like Frank Miller, Ennis, Ellis, who's the weird Scottish guy?
Grant
Grant
Morrison.
Morrison, and I think there's another one. There's like five that I get like they're the same guy to me. I know they're different. I can sort of recognize it, but I read them so similar like right next to each other in a run that it's a fucking mishmash.
Garth Ennis wrote a book called The Boys that I think you'd really appreciate. It's a kick in the crotch to the entire superhero genre.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it just takes the piss, as the Brits would say.
Oh, that sounds fun. Yeah, I do enjoy mocking something like that.
You would enjoy it, and there's a lot of stuff in addition to the mocking. And it's got a great sense of humor. I can't. It's one of those things where you try describing it, and you're gonna ruin it if you try describing it. Like early Peter Jackson films.
Oh yeah. That's definitely
So.
yeah. Well, it's I mean Muppets fucking.
Yeah, but a lot of people would respond to that with, ooh, edgy.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the problem with the world moving on. There's a lot of shit that used to fucking, you know, drop your jaw and make you be, you know, fucking shocked, and now it's oh wow, great.
Yeah, but see, you describe it and people respond that way, but if you just show them Meet the Feebles, they would be transfixed.
I mean, maybe I would have to watch again, but to me, I feel like that's, it's gonna, I feel like it wouldn't have aged well. I mean, I haven't seen it in quite some time, but,
I
like,
haven't seen it in a long time
like,
either.
I really feel like if we sat down and watched it, would be like anything that, like, Cartoon Network would have on. Like, I think, like, all of the, because there's been weird-ass shows, like, Wundershowzen and just any of those,
Yeah, good call. Good call on Wundershowzen being like Meet the Feebles.
And it was, you know.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it fits right into that Adult Swim sort of category.
Yeah. It's been a bit since I watched it. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe if I sit down, it could be like, oh, wow, this is a lot more fucked up than I ever remember. But I saw the, what are the words.
Have you seen Leprechaun Origins?
No, you know what's funny? I guested on another podcast recently, and somehow Leprechaun came up, which was fun because I got to, you know, show my ridiculously in-depth knowledge of the Leprechaun films. But I've not watched Leprechaun Origins. But that's the person of whatever you call a midget from WWE, is that right?
Hornswoggle's in it. Yeah, he's unrecognizable because they went with a really dark, straightforward slasher film with no charm or self-awareness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the creature, it looks like it looks closer to like a Clive Barker reinterpretation of Giger's Alien.
Really?
Like fleshy and all teeth and claws.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it worth watching?
No.
Okay, good, cuz that sounds terrible.
No, it's absolutely terrible. And Hornswoggle is unrecognizable in it.
Well, that was good that they got him for the role. But
that's the thing. He doesn't speak. The thing's not capable of speaking. It's not intelligent.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Why is it a leprechaun then?
It's not.
Isn't like the whole... That's so weird. Why would they... I never understand why these things happen. Yeah.
It's a monster in the rolling green hills of Ireland. And it's nude, and it's got I forgot the name of what they call it, but animals that they have their feet where they have the elongated feet and they're on their toes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what that's called either, but I know.
Yeah. Like that, and like it's like hunched over, and it's got like. Let's see if I can describe this correctly. It's got Reagan's neck type of skin all over.
Leprechaun. Now I have to see this. I forgot. I was sitting in front of a computer. Origins.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, so I was talking to the other show about that recently, and he had not seen a Leprechaun film. And my recommendation was start on like 2 or maybe even 3.
No. Leprechaun...
Well, because the first one's like an attempt at an actual movie.
The Hood and Back to the Hood, my friend.
No, that's what I'm saying. Those are fantastic.
I also feel Leprechaun versus Chucky was a missed opportunity.
Yes.
You type in Leprechaun Origins, you'll see close-ups of the face.
Yeah, I'm seeing it here.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, his face looks like if you mix like a horse with like a foot.
Indeed.
Ugh. What? I hate movies. I don't understand why you would make hey, here's a successful series. Let's make a movie that has nothing to do with the reason it was successful. Like, can you actually make that much money off this kind of gimmick?
I think they were attempting. Well, what we're dealing with here is movie executives, mainly from WWE films, making things, you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, let's remake this and make it serious and dark.
Yeah.
So.
I guess it's just, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I'm also questioning a movie company owned by Vincent Kennedy McMahon. So I'm the idiot here. Like, the second I put any thought into why this movie would suck, I'm the rube. I'm the fucking mark on the midway, and I might as well just, here, step right up. You can guess how much I weigh. Ooh, look, I get a lollipop.
Leprechaun 2, as I recall, was made only so that, you know, it was based all around the leprechaun saying, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." It's the whole point of that film.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Leprechaun 3 was Leprechaun in Vegas.
Yeah, Leprechaun Las Vegas, and then it was Leprechaun.
The entire pitch.
Then it was Leprechaun in Space.
Yeah, which that was the subtitle, Leprechaun 4 in Space.
Yeah, and then Leprechaun in the Hood, then Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
Back to the Hood.
Yeah. Yep. Which was, I found those movies terrifically amusing, but starting pretty much at Vegas, where they just went, nah, fuck it. Like, you could actually just...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I like the just, I give up aspect of it.
Right. The first one's entertaining in a bad horror movie kind of way, but it's still got its charm. Plus, you get to see Jennifer Aniston pre-nose job.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And that one even that one had its, you know, cute, funny moments. Like, you know, if you recall the if you recall, yeah, you're gonna remember this. The kid, he goes to shoot the leprechaun with the four leaf clover from a slingshot,
and he says, "Time to eat your lucky charms, bitch," or something along those lines, right?
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. No, and yes, I recall.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, even back then they were aware of what the fuck they were making.
Yeah, I just, it was
but it really got ramped up over time.
Yeah, the first one was done, like, a little bit too much like an actual movie. I liked when they just committed it to being just, this is so dumb. Like, especially Leprechaun in the Hood. It's one of the more fucking strange films that's ever been made. It's just, it's strange on so many levels. It's, everybody at home, I can't recommend enough. And when I say recommend this, I mean in a very specific
way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He raps. There's
Leprechaun in the Hood come to do no good.
Yeah. Lots of like jokes about black people's hair.
Yeah. There's a lot of jokes about black people. Period.
Yeah.
Or just hip hop culture in general.
Yeah. It was. It's probably the greatest movie ever made. Yeah. It's up there.
I like how Leprechaun 4 in Space was basically a remake of Aliens.
Yeah. Doesn't he jump out of somebody's stomach?
I think his dick while he pees.
Is that what happened? I seem to remember there was like a play off of that.
Yeah.
That's classy.
I recall there's the Space Marines and then there's the princess who is basically the Ripley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that movie was pretty bad. That's up there with Jason in Space for shitty monsters in space movies.
Can I tell you how much it annoys me that people call that one Jason X?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I assure you, I knew the name of that film, but it's called Jason in Space. There's no, I'm not calling it Jason X because, no, that sounds like a movie. No, this is Jason in Space. He's got a magical fucking mask and, fuck you.
Oh, Jason 10. It's Jason 10, damn it. It was the 10th film.
I'm not even calling it 10. I'm calling it Jason in Space. It's just there's no reason to give that movie any credit with, like, calling it an actual title.
But it had – they trapped Jason in a holodeck.
Yeah. Yeah. They did that.
That was brilliant.
It was – I mean, yeah. That was a bad –
For those of you at home, because I'm sure you've seen this and you just don't remember, they trap Jason – in a holographic recreation of 1980s Camp Crystal Lake, complete with two bimbos. And they're like, hey, we're going to go have some premarital sex and smoke some pot. And that distracts Jason so the rest of the crew can get away.
Yeah. It was... Yeah.
And then later he gets remade with the nano machines and the sick bay bed.
Yeah.
Gets turned into Uber Jace.
That was the part where I don't even want to like go like this route of cheesy because this is just like a hack phrase, but it literally is just an adolescent teenage boy that likes video games wrote that part of the script. It is like, it just level up. Now fight him. It's, holy fuck, it's bad.
In addition to a missed opportunity with Chucky versus Leprechaun, I always thought it was interesting that they kept mentioning an attempted crossover between Halloween and Hellraiser. I never got that. I never really saw much crossover potential there.
No.
Whereas RoboCop versus Terminator, that was made into a great comic book by Frank Miller and a couple of great video games back in the day. That would work just fine. But,
you cross Hellraiser and it's like one's like a psycho guy with a Shatner mask flipped inside out. And the other's like a demon in a box. Like these are two disparate entities.
Well, they in the later Halloween sequels, they attempted to make it more supernatural, and he was basically Michael Myers was the reincarnation of the boogeyman.
Oh, okay.
If you recall, in the first one, they have that line regarding the boogeyman and. It was supposed to be metaphorical, but, you know, they went literal with it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't see those. I may have seen the second one, but that's...
That one's all right.
Yeah, that's the end of that. Speaking of which, have we ever talked about this? So, because you were the first attempt at watching this movie in your old apartment a million years ago. Have we ever talked about the Big Bunny Hustlers sequel?
We never watched either of them.
Okay, because here's the thing. Is I've seen Big Money Hustlers. Like,
and Big Money Rustlers?
Yes. But I've seen Big Money Hustlers probably a dozen times at this point.
Okay.
Because I just kept making my friends watch it to annoy them. It was literally because I took that hit and I thought it was the worst movie I've ever seen. And I was squirming in how bad it was. But after I'd been, basically after my ass was stretched, I went, oh, I'm used to it now. And I just made a lot of my friends sit down and watch it with me and just, take joy out of them hating this.
ICP made you their prison bitch.
Yes. And then I, in turn, made my friends my prison bitch. The sequel came out somewhat recently. And yes. Me and my friend John sat down to watch it. John and I actually did a Riff Tracks-esque thing on Big Money Hustlers on this very show, where we sat down and mocked it for the length of the film. So the new one came out, or newish one, and me and John are like, all right, let's do this shit, let's just gird up our loins for battle, we're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it achieved this, the first movie's so bad, it's one of those movies, it's so bad it's good, and then it's even worse so it becomes bad again, but then it's even worse and becomes good. Like, it's like this waveform of suck. The second one is just, it became self-aware on a certain level, but also did that poorly.
Oh.
So it just...
Surprising.
It's joyless. It's so unfunny that it should be funny, but it's worse than that, so you actually start to get annoyed because you're like, no, I can't feel something this unfunny without finding it funny, but somehow you broke it. You broke my joy circuit. How could you have done this to me? And it just keeps going on. And holy shit, is this a terrible film? So I recommend it wholeheartedly. Scott Hall's in it. He is. So is Tom Sizemore. There's a couple other like random cameos. Boy, howdy.
This reminded me, there's a film called Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. Ugh. Such a waste of a great premise. And in the trailer, you got Roddy Piper, zombies trying to bite him, so he bites them back.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know, right? Roddy Piper, Kurt Angle, all sorts of people we enjoyed watching that are basically working for pain pills at this point.
Wow.
And it's a total waste of everyone involved. Matt Hardy's in it.
No shit.
Jim Duggan, Shane Douglas.
Yeah. Oh, I have to see this now.
I didn't
know this existed. I'm shocked that I didn't know this existed.
It is literally called Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Yeah, oh, well, that's not the shocking part. It's just that I didn't know it existed. Like, no, if you said, having you not prefacing that this is a movie, you say, hey, Alex, is there a movie called Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies? I would say, I don't know. I've never heard of it ever in my life, but I'd put really level money that it exists because that is something that would exist. I mean, keep in mind, I've also seen Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter, a musical, so...
Yes. Yeah. I'm quite familiar with that film.
That one had...
I think El Santo was in that one.
That's the reason I thought of it, was because El Santo was in it.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Oh, man.
They need more films featuring Mexican wrestlers fighting the undead. It's a great tradition from back in the 70s.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio just tried to revive it. See what he did there? Because he killed the guy in the ring.
I did.
Death is funny.
Oh, we're laughing at the expense of someone's life, but we didn't know him, so it's okay.
Exactly. And keep in mind, he's foreign. Foreign deaths don't count. So audience at home, if you haven't been following professional wrestler Rey Mysterio, 619, he was in ring down Mexico way. And was performing his 619. I think that actually is the name of the move. And he kicked a guy. And that guy died.
It should be noted that the guy actually died before he performed the 619.
Oh, so he kicked a dead guy in the face.
Yes.
Oh, well, that is better.
He hit his head on the mat
And then when he, and that was the killing blow. And so when he was straddling the rope, he was like dead.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know I'm making light of it because, well, I saw an opportunity for a joke and I went for it. But that is fucking terrible because that was a pretty young wrestler, too. He was like, what, 30 something, 35?
Somewhere between 35 and 45, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, well, I guess 45 is pretty old for a wrestler.
Yeah, in wrestler years.
Yeah. Speaking of, did you, catch the Rumble, the, WrestleMania?
I did. This guy's, he was 36.
Yeah. I mean, it just sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a sport that it's going to happen every now and again. It just blows because it's not like I saw I didn't watch the last bit of the clip because I didn't want to watch a dude die, which I guess I did because I didn't realize it was in the 619. But yeah. It didn't look like he took a bump all that bad. Like, I didn't really see anything that, like, everything looked pretty standard wrestling spots. And then,
yeah, that's the thing. He took a standard bump and the back of his head hit the mat and, from what I understand, from our Lord and Savior Meltzer, the God of wrestling nerds, he confirmed that the mat, that the Mexican mats are harder anyway. They have no give.
Oh no, I didn't.
Yeah, yeah, and this one in particular was the other luchadors were saying that it was harder than it should have been, and he hit the back of his head.
Ah. Yeah, it just hit it was just that perfect, ugh.
Yeah.
Man, that sucks. But,
He had taken a lifetime of hard hits anyway.
Yeah, it is like the accumulation thing. It's still, you know, I feel, for his family and all that shit, but that's the obvious stuff. But I do feel bad for Mysterio, because it's like, he didn't do anything wrong, and he fucking killed a dude, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that sucks, like... You know, he's got that shit on his fucking head for the rest of his life, and he wasn't even doing, like, he literally didn't fuck up. He didn't, like, do some kind of botched, you know, draws kind of thing. Like, it's just...
Right, right.
He did his moves, he did it well, he did his job well, and somehow his fucking, this dude ended up dead because of it. But speaking of who should be dead, NWO versus the whatever we call it.
DX.
Ugh. Okay. I need to go over a couple things with you because you and I survived the Monday Night Wars together.
Indeed, we did.
We watched many of these shows together, smoking cigarettes and generally being awesome.
Those were the days.
For the good. Scott Hall took a legitimate bump.
Yes, he did.
And he looked pretty fucking good doing it. For someone that was gonna, like, we all thought he was gonna be dead 2 years ago from being a bloated alcoholic.
Right, he used to be the Keith Richards of wrestling, and then DDP Yoga.
Yeah. Yeah, like, DDP Yoga, DDP apparently is a miracle worker, because the man, like, he fixes the broken, and he just brings it. Yeah.
Jake Roberts, another one.
Yeah. But I very impressed with him taking a bump on the outside. I mean, not that it's the most impressive spot ever, but...
No, but for him,
yeah. But yeah, but pretty fucking impressive for a man of that age.
Another great bit was while they were fighting, Kevin Nash grabbed his quad and fell down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's funny. You know what? I don't even think I saw him do that. A
quad injury.
Yeah.
To fuck with the internet and then got back up.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was impressed by them, but Hogan just should not be in a situation where he has to look like he can still run.
Right, right.
Oh, that looked bad.
X-Pac had the honor of running into his fist.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, fine. Go for it. I mean, X-Pac's still, you know, reasonably, you know, in shape. Whatever. Yeah. He's lucky to be there. It's fine. But, man, that I felt bad watching Hogan try to, like, that's, they got to stop that. Because now it was somewhat embarrassing before, but now I'm just starting to feel bad. Like, it's almost like, it's like teasing a retard. Like, you shouldn't, this is not okay. Like, this is elder abuse, to quote Better Call Saul. This is elder abuse, and I don't like it.
It's senior citizens night. No, it's part of, there's a lot of different problems affecting the wrestling industry, and I'll keep this brief, but, that's one of the big ones is the over-reliance on the stars from the golden era.
And yeah, because okay, imagine if the NWO hadn't come out 3 or 4 times the past 2 years. You know what I mean? If they had just come out at that point,
yeah,
at WrestleMania. See what I mean? So it's just the law of diminishing returns are in effect. They're just overusing the old guys, and it gets to that point where, you know, you people react just like you're saying, you know, oh God, let grandpa sit down.
Yeah, it is. It really makes me feel bad. It's like, yeah, old Greek grandpa. He's like, no, he can still dance. Come on, dance, grandpa. No, dance. Your hips are fine. You did it 5 years ago. Go for it. You know, it's just, ugh.
The term for what they did is a run-in, but nobody was running.
Yeah, it was fucking awkward.
You ever think Hogan gets Barbie hair just stapled into his skull for that skullet?
I think there's something going on there, because it is not a natural head. Like, it was somehow grafted, his hair. I for a while thought he was doing the, you know, the old hair in the bandana trick, but the bandana comes off sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's always taken it off, but he wears it in, like, you know, he wears it on talk shows,
yeah.
He wears it in court.
Yeah, that's not embarrassing at all. So okay, that was horrible. But I couldn't tell you how much I wasn't looking forward to Sting versus Triple H. As far as matches I want to watch are concerned, that's not one of them.
No, not at all. And in fact, it was rather pathetic that the Monday before that show, Sting came out and said, "This is not WCW versus WWE, that would be ridiculous." Because, yeah, it's been 15 years. And the match happens and the announcers are pushing it as WWE.
Oh, yeah, no,
WCW.
Yeah. Okay. That's the thing. And it is one of those, don't get me started. The announcing is so fucking terrible on that. So the reason I don't watch wrestling anymore, for the most part, is the announcing team is just, it's unlistenable. But I was surprised, and again, this is almost like the extended cut of Daredevil was better than the original. I was surprised by how good the Triple H Sting match was. No, well, only because I was expecting nothing out of it. And at one point, Sting does a standing dropkick, and he looked pretty good. I mean, that's a 50-something-year-old guy doing a standing dropkick to, what, a 6'3 dude? And he hits him in the upper chest face? That was fucking impressive.
Yeah, Sting's no slouch.
But he's still...
He's
very old.
A limited capacity.
Yeah.
I really think that he should have wrestled The Undertaker several years ago.
That's the match that, even though I wouldn't expect it to be physically impressive, that's the one I would have marked the fuck out for. Like, the little kid in me would have went nuts.
But instead, the little kid in Triple H got to live out his I'm the new Ric Flair fantasy.
Yeah.
And then there was Triple H's entrance.
Here's
you
the
mentioned,
thing.
I mentioned RoboCop versus Terminator earlier. It was RoboCop's friend versus the Terminator.
Oh, thank you so much, Dario. When Triple H came out in that ridiculous thing, that's all I thought of it was Sting that was in the cage, right?
Yeah.
And then RoboCop comes out, Sting's friend RoboCop, and RoboCop bends the bars to get Sting out.
And the Four Horsemen sold for him.
What an embarrassing thing to happen, but whatever. It was like the 80s. It was fine. But
my favorite part of that was Jim Ross's call. He was doing a commentator at that point, and just completely matter of fact. And here comes RoboCop, Bob.
Yeah, audience at home. If you stopped fast forwarding because you're waiting for the wrestling talk to stop, and you caught this part. Please get the clip, and you have to understand how amazing wrestling can be, even if you don't like it. There's a clip, just do WCW RoboCop. RoboCop showed up in WCW, and it's just, he showed up in character, and the announcing team had to play it up like this is a real human being coming out to save his friend Sting, and it is.
I'm going to play the audio of that clip.
Oh, if you have it, please do.
And I understand Gordon Sully is Sting about ready to come out. Gordon, are you there?
Wait.
Well, I think we're going to Gordon Sully. We should be about ready for the... Let's go back to Gary.
Give me...
RoboCop as he makes his way to the ring. He'll be coming into our camera view here. Now, wait a minute, the horsemen are already in. They just threw Sting in the cage. They just threw Sting in the cage that Cornette was in. Sting has been caged by the horsemen, but here comes RoboCop.
There we go.
It's so beautiful. It's just... Oh, God, that makes me so happy. Like, not, like, audience at home, Dario, I know you understand this, but audience at home, you have to understand, I'm not happy that that happened. Like, oh, look how articulately this came out, and look how well done the writing was. I'm happy because they just had to go, oh, my God, RoboCop. You know, Sting's in the cage, and RoboCop is coming to say, that's so great. Like, think about you're an announcer, you're a professional announcer for a wrestling organization, and you have to scream, oh, my God, RoboCop. Oh, it's so good.
That man calls college football, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's wonderful.
Remember,
but...
Chucky showed up on WCW much later, and he was he cut a promo on one of the Steiners.
Yeah.
The other one.
I do remember that. Not as embarrassing, though, because it wasn't... like, if Chucky had pinned somebody...
Yes.
Unless they do it. Have you ever seen those Japanese matches where they wrestle a doll?
Yeah.
I saw one that was really good. Like this, I don't know any of their names, but like apparently there's a doll that won a belt at one point. But like the human in ring guy was really impressive. He ended up getting Hurricane Rana from the top rope by a dummy. Like it's hard to imagine, but it was like he sold it really well, which is so like it's so hard to get your head around. But yeah, it was really cool.
Japanese understand wrestling on a level like they do it so much better than we do, because you know what it is? Have you ever seen Galaxy Quest?
Yeah.
Okay. So you remember how the aliens recreate the ship? They don't understand that it's a show, so they recreate it as if it were real.
Yeah.
That's what the Japanese do with wrestling. You know, with the fire.
Yeah.
All that great.
Yeah, it's
stuff.
Very true.
And then, you know, they see the absurdity that's inherent in American wrestling. Then they just take it to a whole other level. Something your people should look up is on YouTube: Kenny Omega versus girl. I don't know how old she is, but you'll see a wrestling match between a guy, an American actually, and a grade school girl.
That's awesome.
Indeed. And he sells like a motherfucker. There's a great sequence where he gives her a kick, and then he does a maniacal laugh, and it is one of the greatest maniacal laughs you'll ever see. Just he laughs with his entire body.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, that's my favorite Japanese thing, and I played this on the show because I was obsessed with it for a while, was Razor Ramon Hardgay.
Yes, anything with him.
He's the greatest man that's ever existed, and I was obsessed with it. In the early Alex cast, I may have played 20 minutes of audio of him. There was nothing I found better than that man. And I don't even like understand what was happening. It's exactly what Japan should be. Like, it's like super fantastic. Let's sit on couch American fun time hour peanuts. Like,
indeed. they took our high impact performance art with the dashes of absurdity, he took it to another level. You know, you type in Kenny Omega versus on YouTube, and 9-year-old is the first thing that comes
That's
up.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, so, okay, anyway, back to RoboCop and Triple H. The second he comes out, and I'm like, this is the dumbest fucking opening I've ever seen. And then I'm like, oh my God, that RoboCop thing from WCW. But the audience, like, I read some reviews, and they're like, oh, what a cool, like, they're saying that this was a cool entrance. And I thought it was, like, embarrassingly bad. Like,
I liked it, but I liked it because it was so over the top. It's very much like an entrance on a Japanese pay-per-view, actually. Now, it was shamelessly commercial, complete with Arnold Schwarzenegger dropping in and saying, it's time to play the game.
Yeah. That part I didn't mind just because, you know, whatever. They get money for it.
It was so ridiculous, but I liked it.
The robots were fine. It was his dumb metal mask and shoulder things. Honestly, that's the thing that bothered me. It wasn't the T-whatevers coming up from under the stage, because that's a cool visual. I get all that, but it was Triple H. He had a for the audience at home that didn't see this, you know, people with lies and have had sex. He came out with like a metal crown skull thing, kind of like based on his normal thing, but it's made of like, you know, shiny metal, like the
best way to describe it is that the year prior, he came out dressed like Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat, like a sort of, you know, extra-dimensional warlord in all gold with a skull, crown, faceplate. And then this year, he came out in a Terminator version of that.
Yeah.
Where it's silver crown faceplate with the Terminator face, and then the Terminator exoskeleton as the breastplate.
Yeah. And to me, it just looked as dumb as a thing could look. Like, that just... Something about it just really annoyed me on a fundamental level. And him just trying to look tough with that dumb shit on him just really bothered me.
And he had, in both hands, he had a net full of Terminator skulls.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was the other stupidity. Yeah. Like, he had just come from a battle with Terminators.
That he did.
Yeah. Well, okay, so... So I'm watching that. I'm like, oh God, this is going to be worse than I thought. Perfectly serviceable match. I was kind of okay with it. Didn't really mind the end so much, even though Triple H got the rub, but you know, he owns the company at this point, whatever. Like, it's fine. Sting got his moment.
It's gonna be jacking off no matter what.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah.
But you know, after everything, they shake hands.
That was weird.
And then, you know, not for nothing, because you know, their storylines in WWE are meaningless unless they directly refer to them. And, you know, I mentioned the week before Mania, they had Sting cut the promo, and he was like, you know, this isn't WCW versus WWE, and yet the announcers pushed that anyway. They also, when they were introducing Sting, rather, to their audience, they specifically mentioned him as being the lone, you know, warrior, the vigilante against the NWO.
Yeah, and then
the NWO comes out and helps him.
Yeah. Okay. And now that we're fully geeked out here, I'm sorry, audience. I'm not sorry. Fuck you. You don't even listen anymore. Here's what I wanted so badly: one of two run-ins to give Sting the win at the end of the match. I'm gonna give the less impressive first, and then the best idea I've ever come up with second. First, Goldberg.
I absolutely think that the run-in should have been Goldberg, Scott Steiner. And I know what you're going to say, but Buff Bagwell.
No, I liked Buff Bagwell. I had no problem with that.
Also Booker T. And DDP. Basically, the recognizable WCW guys that are still capable of running.
Yeah, be fine. So, but I thought Goldberg would have been like the guy. Okay, but the second guy, can you guess?
You know, it would have been great if Flair ran in and then turned on him.
Nope. Shane O'Mac.
Oh.
No, think about how brilliant of a fucking turn that would be. He's the guy that would reflect the time he bought WCW.
No one even remembers that. No,
we do.
Much better would have been if X-Pac had taken off his DX shirt and there was an NWO shirt underneath.
Okay, that would be funny. And then he takes that off and it says 1-2-3 kid. Oh,
good lord.
And then it's a 6-Pac or whatever he was in TNA.
Was 6-Pac.
Yeah, no, I thought Shane McMahon coming out would have been fucking brilliant, because not for a one-off, like, to reintroduce him as a character, which obviously they're not gonna because he's not there around, but like, hey, Triple H is now in charge, but look who's back, and he comes back because he owned WCW, and now he's blah, blah, blah. I would have thought that had been a fun little thing, but no, he didn't do anything at all. What was that?
Sorry about that. That was the beginning of the... I'm sending you the Kenny Omega versus 9-year-old girl.
Oh, please do. Yeah, I will put a link up. Yeah, unfortunately, watching Japanese wrestling on an audio cast doesn't really work.
Right.
Even though I was just going through how I've watched Razor Ramon Hard Gay on the show. But that was more me going, now he's in a ramen shop for some reason. What the fuck is happening? Who is this man? What was his phrase?
I don't even.
I was doing his catchphrase for a while too. He used to say like "awoo" or something. He had like a. I'm gonna have to rewatch all those.
I'm also sending you another match. It is Ken the Box, who is a living tree, versus the Mecha Mummy. Now, unfortunately, it's not the whole match, but it is. It's got video, so that's the important part. It's the video of the match with commentary by Brian Alvarez and Vinny from Wrestling Observer.
You know, the second one you just referenced, I think I may have seen something. I saw one of these weird Japanese matches where it was a robot guy that changed his arms to have like drills and stuff on the end.
That's him.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay, I've actually seen him before.
Have you ever seen, this is American wrestling, but it's after the Japanese heart. It's a Kaiju Big Battle.
Not, it doesn't ring a bell.
Kaiju, which is Japanese for giant monster.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I knew that word. Okay, yeah.
Kaiju, yep.
Yeah.
It's, they dress up in big outfits, and they put destructible, cityscapes in the ring. And they fight.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes me happy.
And they also, they have, it's split up into, like, big fact into here a second. Let me see if I can describe it properly. Rather than a whole bunch of individuals, there's like four categories of monster, and everyone gets fit. Everyone is fit into one of those categories.
That sounds fun. I like this idea.
Just a second here. Yeah. Okay, the groups are Heroes, Space Bugs, Cube's Posse, that would be Dr. Cube, Rouges, it's not Rogues, it might be misspelled Rogues.
Alright.
But it's Rouges with an S. Graveyard. Oh, okay, yes, and on the website there's also the Graveyard category, which is where the Deadwoods go.
Oh, that's fun. So it's like Magic the Gathering, but wrestling.
Not at all.
Yeah, here's the thing. I never actually played Magic the Gathering. I heard the word graveyard. I remember somebody said that term for Magic the Gathering, and I just went, I need to say this out loud to turn this into the nerdiest conversation ever. And I was just hoping that that was a thing, like that would make sense and go, yes, I did it.
No, you're right, actually. It's the ones that get used up and get killed, they get put into the graveyard pile.
Yeah, but that's probably the only association with Magic. I have friends that play it. I remember watching some of it, and someone was in the graveyard, and they had some kind of thing which came out of the graveyard, and then I went, I can we just play poker or something? I'm confused by your things.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, okay, so finishing off the wrestling thing, because we ended up talking about wrestling, and I didn't mean to.
That's all right, it's all your fault.
Yeah, it kind of was. Who the fuck is Neville? Was he a guy before this, or is he just some new dude?
That's Adrian Neville from NXT. He was Pac in Dragon Gate.
Oh, okay, yeah, I guess I don't know him.
Yeah, he's damn good.
Yeah, he's amusing to watch, but I had heard that WWE signed a bunch of, like, indie guys that I'd read their names. I'd never seen, like, Prince Devitt or whatever. Prince Devitt?
Yeah, Devitt.
I don't know who he is. I don't know who,
He's phenomenal. He's now known as Finn Balor.
Oh, that's him. Okay, I've heard that name. All right. Yep. And then they hired that other, Kevin something?
Yeah, Kevin Steen, who is now Kevin Owens.
Okay, see,
he's a tag team partner of El Generico, who is now Sami Zayn.
Okay. See, these are, I've heard these names on the internet, but I've not really been, like, I just kind of check in on wrestling, and then if it sounds fun, I'll watch it. So, like, I'll watch Mania, like, fast forward through most of it, but I'll watch Mania, and then if Raw sounds interesting, I'll watch it. But, like, I really don't, like, watch a lot of matches. So there's pretty much, like, I don't even know what anybody in TNA looks like. I don't know what any of the NJWP, the ROH, I don't know what anybody looks like or does anymore. I just kind of, you know, if it sounds interesting. And AJ Lee is leaving, so I'm probably never going to watch a women's match again.
You know, Flair's daughter is wrestling.
Oh,
she's actually quite good.
Is she in the E?
She's in NXT.
Oh, really? Oh, no shit.
Yeah, her name's Charlotte.
Oh, all right. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check her out and use my hand on my penis while doing it. What? You never jerked off to Flair?
I have this overwhelming need to apologize to your audience for what is probably one of the worst episodes of your podcast, but then I realize most of your audience shut this off a while ago.
I'm sure. But also, let me make this episode worse. Hey, how do you hit on Charlotte?
How?
You pitch, woo! Get it? Like pitching woo? But it's like the way Flair said it. This is not the worst episode of the show ever, because I have fans that like the wrestling talk. It is and the nerd talk. It is a component of the audience. The problem with my audience is it's disparate. So like I've said disparate like 5 times this show, but so some people really like the kind of spiritual weirdness, and oh yeah, they turned this episode off long ago. But then there's the people that like me to do like dick jokes and talk about comic books, and they're like, oh, thank God he's not yapping about tarot. So yeah, it's just all it comes down to is who the audience is. So like last time you were on, I feel like this is kind of the same vibe the last episode, and that one did well.
Excuse me? One of those woo tickets.
What's happening?
Introducing Ric Flair's new woo scratch-off ticket for the North Carolina AJK with a top prize of $100,000. It's enough to make anyone say woo! 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 Woo!
Wow. I didn't know that existed.
I felt it was appropriate.
It was perfectly appropriate. And may I add, this scratch-off ticket costs more than your house! God, fucking Ric Flair's his old promos were goddamn genius. And anybody at home that still made it this far and isn't into wrestling, go listen to old Flair promos and tell me he was a fucking genius. That man was great. Him and Leapin' Lanny Poffo, the two kings of promos.
Let's get serious for a moment here. I don't think that they were in the same category.
Yeah, I don't either. I did watch the Hall of Fame induction thing, but I heard that
they spelled his name wrong.
Oh, did they? Oh, that's funny.
Poffo's name, 1F.
Oh, that's funny. I heard that he did a rhyming poem for Macho Man's induction, and that made me not watch it. So like this is just
He does political poetry.
Oh, that's good. Okay, here's one good thing about Leapin' Lanny Poffo, the Macho Man's brother. Apparently, the story goes in and around the WWE locker room is that he could suck his own dick and used to do it in front of wrestlers as a joke.
Jesus.
I'm not making this up. This is a story I've heard from more than one person on more than one podcast that this is a thing that went around that Lanny Poffo was so gifted in the downstairs area that he could blow himself. And it became a thing to do in the locker room because, well, frankly, they're in a sport that they wrestle with men in Speedos. And, you know, we all just try to avoid the fact that this is all latently homosexual. Woo?
Woo.
The genius. God bless him. So, yeah, it's been over an hour. Fast talk and good times. Oh, all right. Well, let's finish up because I said to no one that's going to listen. I'm not an angry person, Dario. I like getting annoyed at things, but I actually don't really have a lot of anger. Like, I don't like punching stuff or really, I don't really get a lot of anger. I kind of find anger funny. But Martin J. Clemens checks in. He asks us a question. Are we wrong to get pissed off about celebrities belittling the plight of poverty? And by we, I mean me. And when I say pissed off, I mean ready to start a nuclear apocalypse over it. So what he's referencing is Gwyneth Paltrow has decided to go on food stamps for, I think it's a month.
Food stamp challenge. She has to spend $29 to feed her family. So she bought a bunch of food that would go sour in a week, including, looks like 7 limes.
Okay. And this is, okay. So. Martin is very annoyed because he's on a form of assistance up in Canada. I don't know what it's called. And he's saying that this is bullshit. This is, insulting to people that have to live this way, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as someone that doesn't really particularly get angry over things, I don't really understand what he's getting angry at. Like, she's an idiot actress and she brought attention to the situation. Like, I would think this is actually a good thing. Be like, wow, look at this idiot actress. Hey, I didn't know about this challenge thing. Wow, well, people actually have to live on that little money? Let us, hey, we've got attention on us now.
Well, it's two things. One, this isn't the first time that Gwyneth Paltrow has raised the ire of us commoners, of us peasants. So at this point, it's become like a Pavlovian response.
Mm.
Now, the other thing that's going on is if you actually take a close look at her groceries, which she posted to Instagram, you could see that they're not going to last. She did it wrong.
Yeah.
She has, and it goes back, it goes back to the first point. Like, she puts out a newsletter where she, talks about how people should live. She's very, Marie Antoinette, and without realizing it towards, the plebeians.
Yeah. So that's a let them eat cake is the reference you're going with.
Just completely.
No, that was a question. I actually literally don't know if that's the reference you're going with. No, I'm ragingly stupid at history. So I'm like, I think that's the lady you're referencing, but I have no fucking idea. I know that's some English broad from back in the day.
French. But
okay, see, I'm really bad at history.
but yeah, she just she puts out this newsletter, Goop, which is an acronym, with her tips on how to like live life, and they're rather obnoxious.
Mm.
So it has more to do with, you know, who's saying it rather than what's being said. That's why the response is so angry. But, to be fair, if you like actually take a look at her, at those groceries, they're not, she didn't do it right. She wouldn't be able to feed herself and her family a month off those. And I repeat, she bought 7 limes.
Yeah. No, I mean, but that's the thing is I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But she's some ditzy actress. Like, I don't, like, if she was a food columnist or, somebody that has a degree in sociology or something, I could see someone being mad at it, but she's a fucking actress. Like, of course she's going to be.
The thing is, you and I, and more so myself than you, but we're both pretty misanthropic. And, even though I'm much more like, you know, I'm so antisocial. It's gotten really bad. My PTSD is a mess. Regardless, you're forgetting the cultural cachet of the ditzy actress in this day and age. These people express opinions, and because of who they are, they matter. Regardless of how much merit they have, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, whatchamacallit's, the Kardashians. I was just about to make a Star Trek reference to make this the, nerdiest episode ever, but I'm pretty sure I made the Kardashians reference in the last podcast I was talking to you.
Oh, well, it's fine as well. You should.
But, you know, it.
No, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, it's a point well made. I just don't get what the harm is. So it's like, it's got more eyes on the issue of food stamps.
But it's not so much the harm, it's the learned response.
All right. So it's more because we're trained to be annoyed at these idiot people making idiot comments.
Yeah.
All right. I guess because I don't really participate in that sort of thing, and not in some high-minded way. I don't find it particularly interesting. It's not, you know, I participate in other dumb shit.
I don't think you should hold it against you. I forgot his name.
Martin J. Clemens. Oh no, I'm not holding it against him. I just don't really understand the Martin J. Clemens is a very bright man. He is. He's a writer. He's quite good at what he does. But and if I may put myself in his intellectual league, if somebody that I paid attention to said dumb shit, like
no, but it's not even. I mean, yeah, it's. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, please.
But part of it is who the person is, but it's not like I bet that RJ doesn't have a very high opinion of Gwyneth to begin with, but she's. Trampling all over something that matters to him,
You know, and that's what I think it is.
Yeah, like, I guess. I mean,
you know, it's almost like this. You know, you don't have a right to talk about this shit.
I get that intellectually. It just doesn't like. I guess I'm just not very insultable that way. Like somebody saying shit like doesn't like do anything to me. You know, like I don't know, to put a point on it. Like it's just. It's some famous lady saying dumb shit. Like, yeah, I fervently disagree with her. Like, I that's really dumb. And like, I get why people would be like, you know, in a disagreement. It's just that it's the anger. It's the visceral anger response is one that I don't get. But you know, I'm a soulless and passionless human being. So you know,
except when it comes to comic books and wrestling.
Yeah, and then I just kind of laugh at myself and what I've become. You know. Because, you know, I can't help but notice I live in a basement and I don't have a large social group. Wait, I'm a basement-dwelling weirdo that reads comic books.
There you go.
Yeah. Though I think basement-dwelling weirdo in that term, I think it's supposed to be like the person upstairs is related to me. So I don't have that going. Yeah.
Now, just give me a moment here. All right. I'm trying to find... trying to find examples. Ah, perfect. All right, the 25 most pretentious quotes from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop.
Ooh, I would love to hear this.
All right. On the trouble with Parisian concierges. When you go to Paris and your concierge sends you to some restaurant because they get a kickback, it's like, no, where should I really be? Where is the great bar with organic wine? Where do I get a bikini wax in Paris? On her kids picking vegetables. Just to have my kids be in the sun every day, picking avocados, going for a swim, even for 2 years or something, and come back when they go to senior school.
Well, that's
yeah, weird. Okay. On her own diet. I eat whatever I want. I like bread and cheese and wine, and that makes my life fun and enjoyable.
Well, that one's not that bad, right?
Oh, but she's also claimed to have cut all booze and bread out.
Oh, okay, yeah, not knowing that bit of information, no, that one's not right at all. But I'm like, yeah, bread, cheese, and wine—that sounds pretty good to me. I would have that for dinner.
On her children's nanny, she's French, so she's teaching them French, and their previous nanny was Spanish, so they're fluent in Spanish. It's all just idiocy.
Yeah, all right, so she's an idiot.
On the advice Beyoncé gave her before singing live on the Grammy Awards, Beyoncé's like, okay, the singing is great, but you're not having any fun. She's like, remember when we were at Jay's concert and Punjabi MC comes on and you do your crazy Indian dance? Do that. Be you.
Yeah, I mean, this is great life advice. I mean, this is... I mean, this is... So, I mean, this is... Like, Twain.
She's trying to apply. This is advice to the common man.
This is like Poor Richard's Almanac here. I mean, this feels like this is universal advice. This is turn the other cheek. You know, this is, it's better to teach a man to fish than give him, you know, fish. Yeah, this is fine. I'm with you, Gwenny.
Yeah. When I pass a flowering zucchini plant in a garden, my heart skips a beat.
Yeah, perfect. Like Georgia O'Keeffe painting in words.
We have great dinner parties at which everyone sits around talking about politics, history, art, and literature. All this peppered with really funny jokes. But back in America, I was at a party and a girl looked at me and said, "Oh my God, are those juicy jeans that you're wearing?" And I thought, I can't stay here. I have to get back to Europe.
And she's right. You know, this is a stark indictment on the American educational system. And frankly, she's right. You know, and this goes back to a really great point earlier. I wish I was out in the sun for, you know, 2 years or so, picking avocados and just, like, being in the sun. And then I'll go back for senior school. God bless you.
French nanny.
Yeah, God bless you. I miss my au pair. I was thought you were going to read another one. I was having fun.
Yeah, I was just finding a good... I was kind of... Okay. You come across online comments about yourself and about your friends, and it's a very dehumanizing thing. It's almost like how, in war, you go through this bloody dehumanizing thing. My hope is, as we get out of it, we'll reach the next level of conscience.
Yeah, I mean, okay, here's what you're missing, warmonger Dario, is that when you're online and saying your hateful things, you know, creating your war in metaphor, is that you are operating at a lower level of conscious. And I feel like if we could finally vibrate together on the same level, free ourselves of our thetans, we're going to combine and evolve into something better. And that's going to happen in Europe with organic wine. And I like it. And I think I'm going to sign up to Goop. Renny pouts.
Oh my god.
Any more pearls of wisdom? Because I'm in love with this lady.
My daughter gravitates toward fresh fruit and raw nuts, but will inhale a bag of hot Cheetos at the airport. It's all about balance.
Yeah. Yin and yang. You know, that's the nature of the universe. You know, Batman and Joker. This is, you know, I really feel like the hot Cheetos represents the kind of darker nature of man, a la the Joker. And then, you know, the apples, the fresh fruits, the raw nuts represents, you know, the freshness of life, the justice of the universe, the Batman. And combining those two is perfect. Also, these nuts, because I really want to use that for no good reason. I like the idea of trying to philosophize around this idiot's fucking ramblings and then just throwing a these nuts in. I hope her child is old, but now that I think about it, she's probably like a toddler, right? And I take everything I just said back.
I've got paragraphs in front of me in which she discusses that water has emotions.
Oh yeah, you don't know this, Dr. Shigeki whatever, that you ever watched that video?
Yeah, Dr. Emoto.
Yeah.
Negativity changes the structure of water.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I'm not reading this out loud. But this is too much.
It does is a thing, and I feel like Gwyneth has got something going for herself, and frankly, I agree with her, and I think that, you know, and here's the thing: are we just going to drink water that's sad? No, freshen up with a little lime, a little bit of cilantro, and then you're set. I mean, your kid's out in the yard picking avocados and apples. Why do you need any more food than that?
I think to have a regular job and be a mom is not of course there are challenges, but it's not like being on set.
Oh, yeah, I can't even pretend that one.
You heard me. I had to stop midway through.
Yeah, that one kind of broke me. Gwenny. Gwenny pouts. Oh, pouty pout Gwen. GP.
I basically love anything that comes in a hot dog bun, except hot dogs.
Ugh. Like jizz?
I don't even know.
What else comes in a hot dog bun? It's the name.
Caviar?
That is true, I forgot. Cheese? Wine? Good conversation about history. All over hot dog bones.
I am who I am. I can't pretend to be someone who makes $25,000 a year.
And she brings up a very good point. She can't pretend. So she has to take this challenge to go on food stamps for a while to understand what it's like to live on $25,000 a year, which admittedly is making too much for food stamps. So, yeah, okay, her point's not really well made there either. Now, wait, here, let me just interject one point, though, that I think you, and more importantly, Martin J. Clemens, at 14 writer, are missing out. And I think both of you guys have missed this subtle point. She's super hot. So I don't know if you guys really broke that part down.
Super hot, Alex?
Yeah, she's very attractive, and therefore better than us.
Well, I would argue the super hot and the very attractive, but she is better than us.
Yeah.
On Life's Precious Balance, she says, you know, I use organic products, but I get laser treatments. It's what makes life interesting, finding the balance between cigarettes and tofu.
You know, here's the thing. That's just her misunderstanding science. Laser is light amplification by the stimulation of electronic radiation, whatever it is. All it is light that's stimulated down to a fine point. It's just like the sun. Just like being out in the sun. So just Gwyneth doesn't really understand what laser treatments are. She doesn't understand what lasers are. All it really is, it's like concentrated sunshine, you know?
But she
like,
does understand the sun. On that, she says, we're human beings and the sun is the sun. How can it be bad for you? I don't think anything that's natural can be bad for you.
Well, she brings up a very good point. I think her and I should sit down to a nice tea, maybe made from hemlock. And I'll just have her sit down first. You know, here, take this nice organic hemlock tea and enjoy. Sup from it. And enjoy your natural thing from the earth, you fucking idiot. All right, yeah, I'm starting to get mad. All right, change my mind. Martin J. Clements, you're right.
Oh,
I hate that. That's like one of those arguments that always annoys me. Oh, well, it's natural, so it's got to be healthy. Yeah, no, fucking cyanide is natural. Like, no, there's a lot of natural. You know, it's natural fire. Like, if you want to eat fire for breakfast, yes, that is perfectly natural. You know, oil is natural. So you just go just take a nice big old gulp of that.
Well, I'm kind of overloaded with the stupid.
Well, that's a good point, and I think that's a good point to leave on, because I think I've been proven wrong and that this woman is an idiot.
Yes, thank you, RJ, for bringing Gwyneth Paltrow into our lives.
MJ.
MJ, yes. I said RJ numerous times.
Martin J. Clemens.
Martin J. Clemens.
Yes, he's a lovely man, and I'm sure he does not mind you calling him RJ, because why not? I'd like to be called RJ, just once.
RJ, blame it on Gwyneth.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I had, a girl. If I did, I would call her. Oh, I already did that part. Yeah, that's it. Okay. I think we covered everything. I mean, literally everything, from history to, Parisian lifestyles to my love, my darling Gwenny P to, wrestling and having a 9-year-old beat you up in a ring. Beautiful.
It's time for Satellite of Love.
Satellite's gone. All right there, Fez. 866-RON-0-FEZ. 866-RON-0-FEZ. Ivan Ron Bennington. That's Fez Watley.
I watched... Hey!
I'm retired! That's more like Ralph Wiggum. Yeah.
Everybody's hugging.
Yeah. That's the rock where I bet the leprechaun. He tells me to burn things. Oh, look at that. We re-referenced the leprechaun. We did it, ladies and gentlemen.
That, my friend, is full circle.
Yes, we've done it again. Thank you for tuning in at XM 103. I don't know what anything is. Rest in peace, Fez Watley. All hail the Bennington Show. Dario, thank you for coming on and talking nonsense with me.
Of course, anytime.
Audience at home, thank you for listening to the nonsense that I talked with Dario. And tune in next time where we'll talk about something else. I'm probably going to say, I think we might talk about... And that's the end of our show. Bonk.
Bonus material. Bonus material. Bonus material. Bonus material. From Alex.
Hey, you ever want to know what my pre-show sounds like and how awesome my plans work out? Please, listen to Dario and I talk right before the show started. You can get a little insight into how we choose what topics we're going to go over and how that never really works out. Enjoy. No, you're coming in clear as a bell, but just blazingly loud, but I figured out what setting I had wrong. So now I am good.
Excellent.
Yes, it turns out that when you turn the little controller knob, like when you actually turn the entire thing that the controller knob is on around, what mm-hmm. used to be left is now right whilst turning. So when attempting to make part of my technical slang here, while trying to make sound go down, sound make go up.
Like a plane.
Well. I mean, yeah, planes are loud, so yeah, sure.
No, like, you pull it down and it goes up. The not joystick. What do they call it? Stick. You know, the stick.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't fly much.
Yeah.
I actually don't know what that's called. Now I'm lost. All right, I'm good. Things happening. Any kind of pre-show crap we got to talk about?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Good.
I'm willing to talk about comic books and wrestling, just in case. Should the fancy strike?
Yeah.
I'll be following your lead.
The only I think we'll probably avoid most of that. So you're good. So, there may be some small amount of comic talk, but I'm terrifically bored by the current wrestling product. So it's just, I was actually thinking about that. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get a chance to talk some wrestling. But I'm like, yeah, really, there's nothing. I'm good.
Yeah, there's the only thing there that would be at all of interest is the fan revolt that's going on. Where it seems like a whole bunch of us's are buying tickets and just chanting obnoxious things during the shows.
Oh, I don't even think I know about that. All right, maybe we'll touch on that. All right, whatever. All right, we're going to start. It's going to be good. Hold on.
There's a sociological aspect to it, but whatever.
All right, well, we might touch on it. It'll be good. Okay. That thing. All right, good.